NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist Matthew Murphy von The Wombats. Und er kommt gleich zu Wort. Aber erstmal Musik von dem aktuellen Album Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life. Here's Cheetah Tong. Das war also Cheetah Tong von dem Album Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life. Bei mir im Studio ist Matthew Murphy from The Wombats. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm glad you could make it.
Thanks for having me.
Everything running very smoothly, sold out tours and going from success to success.
Yeah, I can't complain at the moment, yeah.
So you haven't started taking it for granted yet?
No. There was maybe a danger of that in the second album at some point, and then, definitely don't take it for granted. But we're also kind of, I make sure I'm very focused, looking forward and not looking back and feeling, I'm very grateful, but it's not an emotion that kind of is constant. I'm more worried about the next venture, I think.
Right, okay. Ja, er weiß es zu schätzen, dass sie immer noch erfolgreich sind nach all den Jahren. Er meinte, als das zweite Album erschienen ist und so erfolgreich war, dann bestand die Gefahr, dass sie ein bisschen verwöhnt waren und dass sie das ein bisschen selbstverständlich angenommen haben. Aber er meinte, er ist schon sehr bewusst darüber und er ist schon sehr dankbar eigentlich, also für den Erfolg und für die Beliebtheit der Band immer noch. Und er meinte, aber er denkt nicht permanent darüber nach, weil er auch ein bisschen Sorgen hat, was die Zukunft betrifft. Er macht sich immer Gedanken darum, was der nächste Schritt sein könnte. So, the dust has settled on this album now, obviously. And in hindsight, now you can almost talk about hindsight. I mean, is it kind of the Wombats coming to full fruition now? Do you think that's the feeling I got? It's kind of like it's almost kind of. I'm not saying you peaked. It's very difficult to say when somebody's going to peak, but it's kind of like. It seems to be you sound very comfortable in what you do.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to make an album that was more organic and wasn't overly worried about what everything else was doing at the time, or didn't sound like a massive synth pop record. And I just wanted to make. I wanted to get 11 great songs, or a good collection of songs, and just produce them and record them tastefully, and not and really try and stay away from synths as much as possible, because I just don't think, unless you're really clever, I don't think they age well. So I wanted to make an
album.
You
think this starts sounding cheesy in hindsight, then?
Sometimes there's some songs that we've done where I'm like, we should have just taken a more spacious approach and given it a chance to become more of a timeless song. Not that I'm saying that this album is timeless, but I think it's in better stead than the previous two.
Okay. Ja, ich sagte, dass es seine Absicht war eigentlich, dass das Album möglich natürlich klingen sollte. Hat das Wort organisch benutzt. Hat sich dafür dann ein bisschen distanziert von Synthesizer. Und er meinte, da besteht die Gefahr, dass wenn man Synthesizer nicht so geschickt anwendet, dass nachher an der Platte ziemlich schnell alt klingt. Und es war sein Ziel eigentlich, ein Album hinzubekommen, das zeitlos klingt. Und er meinte, er weiß nicht, ob er das wirklich hundertprozentig hinbekommen hat. Aber es war seine Absicht, das sehr geschmackvoll aufzunehmen. Und er meinte, dass er denkt schon, im Vergleich zu den anderen Platten, dass es eine gewisse zeitlose Qualität hat. Do you think there's a track on the album there which maybe sums that up almost best of all, really? Did the kind of the coin drop at some point where you thought, well, this exactly the sound we're looking for?
Can I have a look?
Yeah, sure, you've forgotten yourself.
Thanks. maybe Cheetah Tongue is a pretty good...
Yeah, we just heard that.
Is a pretty good one. White Eyes as well. I mean, White Eyes.
White Eyes.
We could have lobbed the kitchen sink on the chorus of that one, but
right.
I kind of wanted to make it more floaty, and I kept talking about In Rainbows as an album and how well that's produced and how like great the music is, how great the songwriting is, and then I just thought that I wanted to do something similar and something that was more like almost confident and a bit more sure of itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ja, also er meint, dass das Stück Cheetah Tong, das wir schon gehört haben, auch das Stück White Eyes sind besonders gute Beispiele dafür, von so ihren neuen Absichten, das ziemlich so bodenständig zu halten. Und er meinte, dass das Album In Rainbows war so ein Vorbild. Er meinte, es ist so wunderschön produziert, ein ganz tolles Songwriting. Und er wollte irgendwas in diese Richtung machen, es nicht nachahmen, aber auf jeden Fall von der Qualität her was Ähnliches hinbekommen. Also hören wir das Stück jetzt, White Eyes, von dem Album Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life von The Wombats. Das war White Eyes von The Wombats. Von dem Album Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life. Matthew ist bei mir in Studio. When you first started off, some people didn't really take it all that seriously. They thought it was kind of like this fun band. And I think, I mean, did you feel underestimated at any point? Or did you feel people regard you as not being substantial enough? And do you think there was a turning point where people actually did actually realize at some point, well, actually, there is more depth to this band than we thought?
I don't know if we've turned that corner yet, but I think we were kind of confused when we started off as well, because I didn't think we knew what we wanted to do. It was this kind of weird concoction of, are they like just taking the piss? Are they having fun? But also the lyrics are talking about much more serious subject matter. So I guess we've just been a bit of a confusing band, both in how we portray ourselves and internally as well. Mm. But I feel like, you know, yeah, I feel like with this album, it's, you know, I don't know, it feels like we're kind of making our mark a little bit more.
Yeah. I think the last time we met, actually, I compared you to Marina and the Diamonds.
Okay.
And obviously not due to any physical resemblance, but musically.
I would have liked that.
You know, in terms of attitude, where almost like we're bridging this gap between like indie and pop. On the one hand, being kind of very bright and colourful and almost garish at times.
Yeah.
And some people not, well, in her case, some people not realising that there's any difference between her and Katy Perry, where in fact there truly is a big difference. And not everybody gets that.
Yeah.
And the same in that sense, I think, applies to you, that some people probably just underestimate your intelligence. Whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like people that lyrically kind of get confused and they don't really know what I'm talking about, or they just think I'm saying garbage, but, you know, I'm not. But then again, it's that kind of like...
Well, some people think all poetry is garbage anyway.
That's true. Yeah. But it feels like the great thing about this album, the great thing about being in the Wombats now, is that I'm completely incapable of kind of writing any other way. Even when I write with other people or for other people, I'm always like, when it comes to the lyrics, I'm a bit like, well, I'm just going to start being really weird now, so you might not want this. And then I just think by constantly ploughing this same street with kind of weird, metaphorical, slightly oddball lyrics, it's starting to pay off for us now, and it feels like the Wombats are kind of, you know, almost... you know, carved in stone a little bit more. I don't feel like
almost I'm like not, an institution in a sense.
Oh yeah, well, I'm not. I don't feel like we're going away anytime soon.
Right. Er meinte, dass die Leute oft ziemlich so verwirrt auf die Band reagiert hat, weil die Band am Anfang selber ein bisschen verwirrt war. Die wussten selber nicht, was sie eigentlich wollten. Einerseits ironisch und sehr spaßig, aber dann gab es dann doch so tiefsinnige Texte und nicht alle Leute begreifen das und sie denken, manche Leute denken, die Band sei nur so oberflächlich. Und meinte, dass die Leute, die es dann verstehen, wissen, so seine skurrilen Metapher zu schätzen und weiß, dass er sowieso nichts anderes schreiben kann. Es ist einfach so seine eigentümliche Art. Und es ist auch völlig klar, dass nicht alle Leute das irgendwie gut finden oder es überhaupt verstehen. Und was soll er dann machen? Er muss damit leben. Aber er meinte, er ist eigentlich ganz zufrieden jetzt mit dem Stand der Band, weil er denkt, dass die Band richtig etabliert ist. Und inzwischen respektiert man sie eigentlich schon für das, was sie dann tun und was sie dann hinbekommen. Und wir hören jetzt ein altes Stück von The Wombats, von dem Album The Wombats Proudly Present This Modern Glitch 2011 ist Anti-D. Und das war Anti-D von The Wombats, von dem Album This Modern Glitch 2011. I think what's important, of course, is just that the melodies haven't run out. I mean, we're talking about the lyrics, but I mean, at the end of the day, there's obviously no sign of a writer's block. I mean, you seem to be able to just... wave your magic wand and come up with instant pop classics all the time, you know. So what's the secret?
I think moving to LA really helped kind of changing the way that I view songwriting and, you know, getting married, having a dog, having a home, you know, right, doing more normal life things and prioritising those, whereas I used to, my number one thing would be, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go to a rehearsal room or a studio, I'm going to bang my head against the wall until something happens, but it's just the worst way to go about things, and so I've just learned to be a bit more calm and relaxed and not put as much pressure on myself, I guess.
And that actually helps the creative process, do you think?
For me, yeah, it's like, well, yeah, if you're really relaxed, I think it's really good, and then there's this ground in the middle where if you feel a bit stressed out, it's not going to happen. But then there's the, like the other end where like you're under the clock, or there's pressure from label or bandmate or whoever. And then I'm good at either ends of the spectrum and not good in the middle.
Okay, right. Er sagt, es hat ihm geholfen, nach Los Angeles zu ziehen. Er ist auch dort verheiratet mit einer Amerikanerin und sie haben auch einen Hund. Und er meinte, er lebt viel entspannter als früher. Und er meinte, früher hatte er sich selber extrem unter Druck gesetzt. Er ging jeden Tag in den Proberaum. Und wenn es alles nicht geklappt hat, also mit der kreativen Prozess, war er total frustriert. Und er meinte, inzwischen ist es so, dass er weiß, wie gut das ist, sich einfach ein bisschen zurückzulehnen und einfach so ein bisschen entspannt zu sein. Und dann kommen schon die kreativen Ideen. Er meinte, und wenn es dann soweit ist, dass alles umgesetzt werden muss, dann kann er den Stress wieder gut ab. Aber er meinte, es tut ihm, er findet es sehr wohltuend eigentlich, wenn er sich ein bisschen so zurückgezogen leben kann mit seiner Frau, ein bisschen gut bürgerlich in Los Angeles. Of course, your songwriting has often been confessional, not necessarily in an immediate sense, but it seems to be very personal. I mean, getting married in that sense, does that in some way possibly cramp your style? Because you can't, well, if you can be brutally honest about something, you might get into trouble with your wife or whatever, you know what I mean? If you've been completely open about things, do you actually feel, in that sense, not maybe as artistically free as you were before you were living this kind of very stable lifestyle?
It's more unstable now.
Okay.
She's kind of... it's... Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be short for stories from our relationship. It's pretty... it's, you know, she's a very interesting woman. She can be a bit nuts, and I think she knows what she signed up for. So it's... I think it's all good.
It's not likely to lead.
And
to
also, a lot of the songs are more pop. You know, I can also do stuff that's a bit more positive as well. Like Turn is a much more positive song than I kind of am used to singing. So she likes that. But then she knows, obviously, if we have a big argument, then maybe Lemon to a Knife Fight's going to happen. And a lot of these songs were inspired by various
Stormy
shit
Waters.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's going to make sure you don't get artistically complacent then.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Ja, ich fragte, ob es nicht eine kreative Gefahr ist, wenn er jetzt so gut bürgerlich lebt, verheiratet, glücklich verheiratet, ob er dadurch vielleicht irgendwie ein bisschen beeinträchtigt sein könnte, weil sein kreativer Geist ein bisschen gebremst wird eigentlich. Und er meinte, nee, das Gegenteil ist der Fall. Er meinte, es ist eher weniger stabil als früher, weil es eine ziemlich chaotische Frau ist, die er geheiratet hat. Und die Beziehung ist ziemlich stürmisch. Und er meinte, es gibt wirklich genügend Ideen, die davon fließen. Und es besteht dann überhaupt keine Gefahr. Also, dass er durch sein ruhiges, privates Leben, dass seine Kreativität irgendwie beeinträchtigt werden könnte. Und er nannte also zwei Beispiele, Lemon to a Knife Fight und auch Turn. Und die beiden Songs hören wir jetzt. Und zwar Turn und Lemon to a Knife Fight von dem Album Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life von The Wombats. Das war also Turn und dann Lemon to a Knife Fight. Zwei Songs von dem neuen Album von The Wombats. Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life. Bei mir in Studio is Matthew Murphy von der Band. Of course, you being no longer because you lived in London, didn't you, before you went to LA, you weren't in Liverpool. It's a bit of a myth, I think, that everybody kind of thought you were all in a squat in Liverpool for about 10 years.
Yeah, no.
That was never really the case, was it?
No, we haven't lived in the same city for almost a decade.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So is it like an online relationship now then, sort of?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, we've been together almost every day since January the 3rd, I think. And then...
Yeah, well, it was when you were on tour, sure.
Yeah, but
did you have to rethink though the creative process when you weren't living together?
A little bit. Obviously, I was doing demos in LA, and I would send them to them, and then we finished off the album by me going to Oslo 4 or 5 times to write with them, and that's kind of how the last 4 songs for the album came about. I prefer it this way. I don't feel like there's people knocking on my door. I feel much more relaxed and. In almost like a little safe haven. I spend a lot more of the year jet lagged, but that's fine. I don't know. I just don't see it as that much of a big deal. If anything, I can only see positives from it. You know, I think
maybe less friction because you don't actually get on each other's nerves so much. Then,
yeah, exactly. And there's I think there's something in, you know, bands that don't live together stay together. It's not like I'm going to walk go to the pub and bump into them, and it feels very safe in the way it should be done.
Does it seem strange in some respects being in LA, because your music doesn't sound American at all, does it? I think it sounds, to me, it sounds quintessentially British.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say this is the Wombats from Liverpool, which they still say. It seems to add up, doesn't it? And if they said, well, this is the Wombats from LA, nobody really believe it.
Yeah, probably. I think the, you know, American music and listening to just American radio does seep in. Like, I think that Turn and Greek Tragedy, especially from the last album, I wouldn't be able to tell you if they were. I don't know if I can necessarily hear any Liverpool in them.
I'm not saying Liverpool. Okay. Such, I'm just saying more just English.
Yeah.
Just like English music. That's what,
yeah. Although, well, I guess that's, I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's
that's
of,
my
it's
voice,
quite psychedelic,
isn't it?
Though, isn't it? It's a bit of a psychedelic album, really, this, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, there's
a shift of emphasis in that respect, yeah.
Yeah. That was something that we kind of, there were a couple of demos that kind of had that in, and we thought we'd explore that a little bit more and, yeah, just try and do something a little bit different.
Yeah. Ihr habt mir auch recht gegeben, dass die Musik tatsächlich sehr britisch klingt. Er lebt natürlich in Amerika, aber er meinte dann trotzdem, obwohl, weil er jetzt da lebt, dass er hat sich ein bisschen von amerikanischer Musik beeinflussen lassen. Er meinte, es verändert sich schon und es verschiebt sich schon ein bisschen mit der Zeit. Und einige Songs haben einen gewissen psychedelischen Charakter. Und dazu steht er dann auch. Und er denkt, es gibt eigentlich nur Vorteile, dass die Band nicht in derselben Stadt leben. Die wohnen alle in unterschiedlichen Städten. Und er sagt, dass es ist überhaupt kein Problem. Die treffen sich, wenn es sein muss. Er hat Demos in Los Angeles dann gebastelt und dann ist er nach Oslo geflogen und die haben das Album in Oslo aufgenommen und hat ziemlich viel unter so Jetlag gelitten und er sagt, das muss man in Kauf nehmen. Aber meinte, er denkt, dass die Band wahrscheinlich deshalb noch zusammen ist, weil sie sich nicht permanent sehen. Sie sehen sich natürlich rund um die Uhr, wenn sie auf Tour sind, aber wenn sie dann eine gewisse Pause haben voneinander, das kann eigentlich nur sehr gesund sein. Is the audience, do you think, that you have still as fervent as it ever was? I mean, has it got older or have you got young people coming in as well? Because, again, that was something I remember comparing to Marina and the Diamonds at the time when she was having her heyday some years ago, is that it almost seemed disproportionate, just the incredible fervency. You know, it was kind of like real worship of artists. And I got that impression with the Wombats. I mean, I've seen your concerts a few times. And is that still the case? Do you think people have got a bit more mature now? Do you think they've calmed down a bit? Or
No.
Just still as wild as ever?
We just did Alexandra Palace in London, sold it out, and there were 50 people over the sound barrier, not even the front barrier, just like everyone was getting crushed and falling down. It was the most raucous show I've ever seen. And I think, you know, Spotify has really, you know, given us a new surge of energy and lots of new fans coming in from that. It doesn't really feel like they're getting older. If anything, you know, I'm surprised. You know, it'd almost be like they probably only know the last couple of albums, but they also know Let's Dance to Joy Division and all those other ones. So
they're caught up in it. They've done well. They've got Spotify. So they
And it's some of our, you know, back catalogue are being rediscovered by, you know, kids and stuff. It's really exciting, and I definitely didn't see it coming.
Right. Do you sometimes wish that maybe it was a bit more downbeat in that respect, a bit more kind of laid back? But you're still happy about that kind of...
Yeah. No, we want the youth. but obviously, you know, towards the extremities of whatever space we're playing in, you know, it does get up to, people get a lot older the further out you go. But it still seems like the kids are coming through and enjoying it. I don't really know what's happening, but it's good.
And to think the idea of pop music being youth culture doesn't really apply as much as it used to, like in the 60s and 70s. Do you think in that sense that, people don't as ageist about pop and rock music as they used to? Maybe because like the first generation of musicians have got so old now, like in the 70s, and people still reckon that the Rolling Stones are cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, people used to talk about the Rolling Stones being old farts at some point, and then they kind of got over that hurdle, and now the respect as being these great blues guys has made this huge contribution to British music.
Yeah, I don't think there is much ageism in the music industry now. I think that the kids are, whatever connects with them, they're happy to run with it. They don't really give a crap about the backstory of the band or how old they are.
Right.
I don't know. I'm theorising.
Yeah, you must be able to judge, though, because you've been around for quite a while as well, and you see you've got such a mixed bunch at your gigs as well.
Yeah. I don't... There's some... it's something to do with the kind of the storytelling, I think, that's going on. Like, you know, from whether it's like boy meets girl, then everything gets fucked up and then they split up, or it's, you know, painting slightly weirder pictures of the same scenario. I mean, I've been barking up the same tree for 10 years now, just doing it in different ways. Oh, fucking
hell. That's great German engineering, that is. Yeah. It's happened to me, that, on these chairs as well. Don't worry. Just carry on regardless, yeah.
And, I don't know if there's something that is in the lyrics that's connecting with teenagers, and there's something in the music that they find fun.
Yeah. Ja, er meint, dass das Publikum der Band ist immer noch genauso wild und energisch wie früher. Die drehen immer komplett ab bei den Konzerten und tanzen wie verrückt. Und er meinte, im Alexander Palace in London war es gerade ganz extrem. So ein extrem wildes Publikum haben sie noch nie erlebt. Und er denkt, dass durch Spotify hat es ihnen eigentlich sehr geholfen, dass ganz viele neue, junge Leute die Band entdeckt hat, die eigentlich nur die letzten beiden Platten aus erster Hand kennengelernt haben und dann die alten Sachen quasi nachträglich dann kennengelernt haben. Er meinte, wenn man dann weiter nach hinten guckt, wird das Publikum schon ein bisschen älter, aber er freut sich dann, wenn er ganz viele junge Leute anziehen kann. Und er sagt, dass inzwischen ist Popmusik fast so alterlos geworden. Er denkt, dass junge Leute keine Vorurteile haben, dass sie gar nicht darüber nachdenken, in Wirklichkeit, ob eine Band älter ist oder nicht, und die denken, dass das Alter eigentlich keine Rolle spielt. Und hier ist jetzt wieder ein Stück von dem Album This Modern Glitch von The Wombats. Ihr zweites Album ist 1996. Das war 1996 von The Wombats, von dem Album The Wombats Proudly Present This Modern Glitch 2011. And talking about time is music, I was doing my homework on you and found out that you really respect Elliot Smith.
Yeah.
Which is not, maybe people would think, you know, that wouldn't kind of be poppy enough for you, but it's interesting. And I just brought an album along with me. Did you follow him right from the word go when you were a student or when you were at school? Or
when I was in arts college, someone played a song in this like kind of class scenario, and I was just, I was just bowled over by it. And then I kind of felt like I got even more obsessed by Elliot Smith than the guy who introduced me to them. And no one else had heard of him, and I really felt like I found this new, it was like it was all mine. And I don't know, there's never really been a songwriter that's kind of connected with me like Elliot Smith, really. A lot of the songs on the earlier albums, or even this one, to be honest, they are a lot more moody if I'm just playing them by myself than when I take it to the guys. As soon as you throw some R's and some, you know, drums, upbeat drums on it, it automatically makes it happy. But it'd be interesting to do an album where it was completely stripped back and I'd worked on the songs in that kind of sense, just to see how kind of moody it would be. But yeah, he was a huge influence, but I've never made a song that sounds anything like him.
It's interesting though, because at the end of the day, you know, it's the same kind of art you were talking about. It's about class songwriting. It's about being honest. It's about being authentic.
Yeah.
And otherwise people wouldn't dream of comparing the Wombats with Elliot Smith, but why not? You know, because at the end of the day, we're talking about the same kind of integrity, aren't we, really?
Yeah, I mean, how open he is with his lyrics about, like, throwing up in the kitchen sink and doing a load of coke and drinking too much and stuff like that. You know, they're not things... Because of him, I'm not scared to shy away from such kind of, you know, irreverent subject matter, I guess.
Right. But I haven't really brought the right album along, because it sounded like you were hinting that you actually found the earlier albums actually even better.
No, I think...
You do like that one?
No, this one's amazing, yeah.
Okay, would you like to hear a track from then now?
Yes. Oh, but I mean...
Spot for choice.
Yeah. I mean, Say Yes is a classic. I like Speed. I mean, I'd really... Between the Bars is kind of a bit sordid, isn't it?
Yeah. Apparently Madonna actually said that she wished she'd written Behind the Bars.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's do Behind the Bars then.
Okay. Yeah. Madonna must be right.
Yeah.
Wir hören gleich ein Stück von Elliot Smith. Vielleicht ein unwahrscheinlicher Vergleich, aber er hat Elliot Smith immer sehr bewundert, als er Student war. Ein Student, den er kannte in der Uni, hat ihm dann Elliot Smith vorgespielt und das hat Matthew total umgehauen. Und er meinte, er wurde ein ganz riesen Fan, viel mehr als der Typ, der ihm das irgendwie gezeigt hat. Und er meinte, das hat noch nie einen Songwriter gegeben, bei dem er wirklich so zu Hause gefühlt hat, mit dem er so eine enge Verbindung empfunden hat. Und er denkt, dass er hat zwar nie ein Lied geschrieben, das irgendwie ähnlich ist, aber grundsätzlich natürlich die Herangehensweise dasselbe. Man versucht wirklich gutes Songwriting hinzubekommen, das authentisch ist, mit einer gewissen Integrität. Und daher für ihn gibt es gar keinen Widerspruch. Und ich weiß zufällig, dass das Lied, das wir gleich hören, Behind the Bars, Madonna hat einmal gesagt, dass sie wünscht, sie hätte das Lied selbst komponiert. Und so, wir müssen wir das Stück jetzt hören. Von dem Album Either Or von 98 ist Elliot Smith mit Behind the Bars. So, das war Behind the Bars von Elliot Smith von Album Either Or von...
Between the Bars.
Between the Bars.
Yeah. That's much more Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, da hat mich richtig korrigiert. Jetzt wissen wir, wie das Stück dann heißt. Good, it's because you took the album away from me.
Yeah,
I couldn't read it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
I came a cropper then because of that. Yeah. Anyway, so, okay. Yeah, it's... I mean, maybe it's something you're not... Self-awareness is a difficult thing, but I mean, you must be aware of the fact that you've been around for 10 years, you've managed to maintain a certain level of success, you've managed to maintain the level of songwriting. And that flair, which people, I think of in terms of the Wombats, is that just something which is innate in you? Was that something you were aware of when you started off in Liverpool and that you're just born with? You've either got it or you haven't got it, and it's not something you can be really worked at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it can be, if it can be worked at, but you can definitely create the, you know, better environments for it to work better in, I suppose. I don't know what happened. I mean, I was in terrible bands when I was in Liverpool, kind of like ripping off Radiohead and writing some dreadful lyrics that meant nothing. And then I don't know what, and then something kind of shifted and I got more into like bands like Pulp and going to like indie nightclubs and things like that, and there were girls that I wanted to impress. That was really helpful, actually. And so you've got, you know, something to aim for, and then I think you know, I found my voice, like lyrically, melodically, and I think that we found our sound as a band when it was four of us and he left and we replaced his guitar parts with harmonies, and that's where all that kind of first album sound came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Introspective kind of weird lyrics just kind of excite me, and I think they always will.
Okay. Yeah, ich denke, dass die Band ein gewisses Flair hat, und er hat das Songwriter immer ein gewisses Flair gehabt von Anfang an. Und er meint auch, dass man sowas nicht erarbeiten kann. Es ist einfach, man ist einfach, wie man ist. Aber er meinte, es war nicht immer so. Er meinte, es war ziemlich schlimm und ziemlich kümmerlich eigentlich, wie er war, als er angefangen hat. Er meinte, er hat ganz schlechte Bands gehabt, als er ganz jung war. Er versuchte, wie Radiohead zu klingen. Und er schrieb ganz furchtbare Texte, auch in der Hoffnung, Radiohead nachzuahmen. Aber irgendwann wurden seine Bands besser und seine Musikalität, also er hat an Kompetenz gewonnen, und dann hat er Bands wie Pulp entdeckt und dann besuchte er Indie-Discos, und es hat ihm sehr geholfen, eigentlich besser zu werden, indem er dann Mädchen beeindrucken wollte und meinte, das hat ihn wirklich sehr motiviert. Und irgendwann haben sie einen eigenen Sound gefunden, und ein Bandmitglied, ein Gitarrist, hat die Gruppe verlassen, die waren erstmal zu viert, und die mussten deshalb seine Gitarrenklänge mit Gesangsharmonien ersetzen. Und so kamen sie ein bisschen auf ihren eigenen Sound, den man jetzt noch kennt. Und er meinte, er war schon immer total fasziniert von introvertierten, sehr privaten Texten, wo der Mensch, ein Künstler, sein Innerstes nach außen kehrt. Und er meinte, das wird ihn wahrscheinlich immer so beibehalten. Das wird er immer beibehalten wollen. Okay, well, thanks very much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Good
Thank
to see you.
You.
And
you too.
What would you like to hear to finish off then?
The new single is...
Lethal Combination?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, zum Schluss haben wir jetzt Lethal Combination. Von dem Album Beautiful People, Ruin Your Life. Von The Wombats aus Liverpool. Nicht aus Los Angeles. And, okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks.
Das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.